Hello guys, and welcome to episode 3 of the Bundesliga Diaries podcast. As ever, I'm joined by my wonderful esteemed colleagues, Jorge Satori.
Hi John, how are you doing?
Really good, thank you. And Mirko, how are you?
Pretty fine. Some good weather in Berlin, so
of course,
that helps.
Does make a change after that long winter. As always, we are going to start with the review of the last match day in the Bundesliga, the 32nd match day. Then we're going to have a look at a specific story, a specific club. In particular, Hamburg. We're going to look a little bit into their season, their history, and try and find out and study, or at least examine a little bit why they are where they are this season, and what's led to them being there. So, first up, of course, the reviews. So, Friday night's game was Hoffenheim against Hanover, 3-1 to the home side, another good win for Nagelsmann's side, Kramaric of a hat-trick. Hoffenheim really pushing for the Champions League.
I mean, yeah, they're on fire lately. They're now on Champions League positions, actually. They're fourth. Who would have said that in the middle of the season? But you can't just... it's just so obvious how good they are in the attack. They're the second team that scores the most goals, 63 goals. Taking into account they lost Sandro Wagner in winter, it's quite impacting. Kramaric scored 10 of the last... in the last 12 games. And the bad notice, I would say, is that Derry Barry and your boy, Gnabry, went off injured, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Gnabry injured after the first goal. Big mistake from Hannover's defender, Sané, where Gnabry is just fast, gets it in, and passes over. I don't really see how he got injured. Looked kind of weird.
Just a muscle pull out of nowhere, really. And then they had the minute by as well, so 3-1 victory, but not the best in terms of losing big players for the last two games. But... I mean, they really have come out of nowhere for the Champions League. Do we think they can make it?
I think they will, based on form from them and form of the other Champions League contenders. Because the three of them, as we will talk later, fortunately for Mirko, are not on good form in the league.
Well, we're not targeting Champions League, so that's something else.
It never
was
targeting
maybe staying in the top 10. That's our goal.
And of course, it would be extra important this year if Hoffenheim do finish in the top four, as they will go straight to the group stage. No qualifying again, and no facing, well, potential finalist Liverpool in the third qualifying round. Then the next game, Schalke 1, Gladbach 1.
Early red card.
Yeah.
Early red card.
VAR again.
Very harsh on Bentaleb, I thought. Silly, yes, a bit petulant, but still don't make
sense. There was a debate yesterday in a German TV show about football, and one guy said, even though the Gladbach, who got hit? It was Stindl, right?
Yeah, Stindl.
Even though he dives, he plays a little, just the point that he got hit is a red card. I would say I disagree with that, and I would say you can give a yellow in that case, and especially also the VAR, they should only interfere and overrule if it's a clear decision, and I think it wasn't. I think you can go with a yellow. Red is not a complete mistake, but yellow would also work, so I don't know why the VAR was...
I think also it's quite dangerous that lately, because we talked about it last week also, these diving scenes are coming to the Bundesliga. I don't think it will be a recurrent thing, but it also happened in the game with Mainz, with Maxima and Keita. It's coming, something that in Premier League it's stopped always, and it's always the journalists at least and the fans always criticise that really fiercely.
Nah.
Like I remember what happened in the case of Ashley Young. He dived once, and I don't think he's ever dived again.
Yeah,
but I think this in the Bundesliga should happen, because if not, it will happen. Like in the Spanish league, where everybody dies and it's part of the culture, and I think it's really, really shitty.
And I thought VAR would maybe put a stop to diving, because now players know the referee can actually take a look and give me the yellow card for doing the dive.
Yeah.
But I think nothing has changed. The players are diving all the time, and I think they should get a blame for that at some point. So, or there will not be a change.
And that's an interesting point as well. I mean... Stindl there goes down very, very easily for what is barely a touch. Then got himself injured.
Yeah.
Later on, some would call that a little bit of karma. I mean, you know,
yeah, I was thinking about it. Can we say that? But I like Stindl too much as a player, so
I
think it's sad that he got injured.
I agree.
I would have liked to see him play. Yeah, it's unfortunate for him.
I think he's like the perfect striker for Germany because he's a player that can play alongside Mario Gomez, alongside Werner. He's different to the other strikers Germany has. I think he would have made the squad. Don't know to start, but would have made the squad. But unfortunately...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think... I was just playing a bit of devil's advocate there, you know. Doesn't really deserve to get injured for going down like he did, in all fairness. Maybe it might make him think about it next time, you would hope. But onto the results anyway, at least, rather than just that aspect. I think that Schalke pretty much secured their place now. I mean, not quite mathematically, but close to. A draw in one of the next two games will guarantee that Champions League spot for them. So Schalke back in Europe, back in the Champions League.
Yeah, not yet, but... The result was better for Schalke and Gladbach. Actually, it would have been bad for both if Dortmund would have won. Again, that we will comment afterwards that they should have won the way they played. Played really well. But they'll be happy, yeah, as you say. But I think now the objective for Schalke is not quite Champions League, because that, as you said, is done. But to finish on top of Dortmund.
Above Dortmund, yeah.
Definitely.
That's the battle this season, I think. Schalke against Dortmund. Yeah, and I think for me it was also great that they drew and Gladbach didn't win. The first goal from Gladbach was a nice one, though. Stindl was
the
final pass, Hazard.
Yeah.
Dribbling to Stindl and he passed to Raphael. I think really nice goal. Schalke a little bit lucky with a penalty. I mean, I would say you have to give this penalty.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a penalty,
And then afterwards, I mean, there were some chances, but... no team was really going for the win.
No. Probably a fair result, you'd say, a 1-1. Bad news for Gladbach is there's no Vestergaard next week. He'll be banned after picking up another yellow. Maybe good news for Eintracht, Mirko. Staying in nose, or just hanging on to that Europa League spot as it is. And then our next game is, well, convenient, actually, because it is Eintracht. They played Bayern, and they lost 4-1. Tell us what you think. Tell us your thoughts.
Where should I start? I mean, I have never seen the Bayern side play like that. I mean, those players. Everyone was talking about Bayern's done with a B squad, C squad, D squad. What kind of squad is it? It was enough for us. And I think really stupid. We had two good chances in the first half, but afterwards they weren't really. Playing any football anymore, and they were like, when it was 0-0, they were already like confident with the result, and I was like, when will you ever have a chance to beat Bayern, a chance that big as on Saturday, and they weren't going for it, and that's disappointing as a fan. And
I mean, you know, as you say, talking about the team there, Bayern fielded three debutants in that game: Shabani, Avina and Dosh with his first goal and his first start. And then he also had Mai as well, who played his second ever game. So it was a very young squad. Like you say, it was a good chance maybe for Eintracht to get a point or something. I mean, it's interesting to say, ever since the Kovac announcement has been made, things have really fallen apart. Apart from that podcast semi-final against Schalke, things have fallen apart a bit for Eintracht. I mean, I suppose it's an obvious answer, really, to the question, but... Is this form down to that?
Maybe, but you know what Kovac did after the match? He was also from the chauffeur, the official chauffeur from Hoeneß, drove him to his family in Salzburg, 150 kilometers, in an official FC Bayern car.
Really?
He didn't fly back with the team. He took the extra trip to his family. I mean, you could argue if his family lives that close, you can definitely visit them, but... why does the official Bayern driver have to drive him? That's kind of awkward, kind of weird.
That's a typical divide you have, like when players, after losing a game, go and party, you know? It's like, where does the line start between being a professional and the life of the
football? If it was a player, there would have probably been suspension or something.
I think the problem is the fact that he was driven by an official Bayern car, not the fact he went to see his family. It's just a pity that he didn't realise that.
That is a total lack of respect for the club that he's at to do that. I really think it is an arrogance from Bayern Munich again to do that.
And Kovac.
And that's what I mean. Kovac is I think it's a total lack of disrespect for his club. They're in a final against Bayern, let's not forget. They are playing in a final against Bayern. He is going to Bayern Munich, and I'm sure it's a wonderful opportunity for him. It's Bayern Munich at the end of the day. You know, it's the biggest job in German football. Some might even say it's bigger than the national team, you know, to an extent. But he's still under contract. They've got a big game in the cup coming up. They've got big games in the league still to come. I don't think it's really
for me though. I say the league is basically over. But we'll talk about the preview games and the next games. But I think the league for Frankfurt is basically over. Bayern was a good result for them, and now they have to go for Real Madrid.
Yeah, of course they did lose 2-1 in midweek to the Madrid side, so they have to go to the Bernabeu and score twice. So that should be an interesting game.
They did that last season, to be fair.
Yeah.
Same result in the first leg, and second leg went to extra time. Some would say the referee had something to do there, but I'm not from that opinion.
It'll be interesting to see at least, and as a Bundesliga podcast, we should wish them the best of luck. Next up, Hertha against Augsburg, 2-2. Interesting game, this one. Hertha pushing for Europa League after, well, they're still there and thereabouts now. Bit of a push with maybe 3 points behind with a couple of other sides in between, but this probably is a case of a lost opportunity and a missed opportunity, I think, for Hertha.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they could have even won the game even though they were 2-0 behind, scored in the 83rd and 86th minute. Then Augsburg had a red card and they had some good chances, Hertha, but well, really interesting game to see as a neutral fan, obviously, for the end of the game. But Hertha had a really good chance against Augsburg.
Yeah, Augsburg basically saved exactly after last week with 40 points. And they even switched the goalkeeper to give him some play. Mm. And Augsburg was playing for nothing, but with a good performance. And they were 2-0 up. So
you can also see that Hertha weren't like believing they can make Europe. Like, for example, Dardai's son, Paco Dardai, played really young. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't think that if they were like really talented in Europe, he would get chances to youngsters from the youth team academy and like not going with the full squad to get.
Yeah, so maybe they were
just thinking, thinking about next season, giving chances to young players, which makes sense because as John said, there's two teams in between, 3 points away, so being reasonable.
True, but still, this is definitely a winnable game for Hertha. Selke, good performance. Turn around. I know
Mirko's favourite.
Yeah, he's not Mirko's favourite player, but he did have a big influence on the game, won the penalty, and scored the equaliser.
And to be fair, as you argue, if Hertha would have won this, like last weekend, we were talking about Gladbach being able to make Europe. Now, today, we will talk about Stuttgart because they took the chances. So if.
But Hertha has also still chances. So
they still have, but they would be close now.
It's
so close.
It's
only a point away.
Yeah, certainly.
Interesting though also, Ibizovic's first goal since matchday 13.
Wow.
An assist,
yeah. So, good performance from Ibizovic as
Ibizovic.
Well. Vedat Ibizovic.
bad news for Augsburg is that Gregoric went off injured. I mean, they haven't got much to play for now, but he scored his 13th goal of the season. It was very fortunate, but they all count, I suppose, as they say.
If anything, might mean that he'll be sold for a little less money because 2 games to score more goals, but incredible season he's done.
Yeah, he's still at Augsburg. Stand jetzt. Who knows where he will play next.
Let's see what the summer transfer window brings for us. Then, next up, Wolfsburg 1, Hamburg 3. Big win for Hamburg. Woods, Holtby, and Val Schmidt with the goals. Great result for Hamburg. You know, they've given themselves a real fighting chance now, finally. They're really good for fighting chance of staying up.
Yeah, and a deserved win again. I mean, they had a good performance against Schalke a couple of weeks ago where I was like, where does that come from? They can play football, especially Ito. And he was playing very good against Wolfsburg again. he got fouled and for the penalty, and then he assisted Holtby a couple minutes later. So really good performance from Ito. And I've heard there are rumors on Transfermarkt. I've seen Frankfurt is interested.
Wow.
Frankfurt has a good history with Japanese players, getting the best out of them.
Maybe, yeah.
Hopefully you want them to go down then, I'm sure. So it's
And we can actually have our influence on that. But we'll talk about that later.
Mike Schmidt is scoring against Wolfsburg. Last season he scored in the game that saved Hamburg and now scored again against the same team. And Wood scoring again after ages. I think it's been December, if I'm not wrong.
1,293 minutes without a goal. That's a substantial number for what is a striker, effectively. Did anyone see Kostas? I mean, you would have saw, obviously, but Kostas' penalty. How complacent was that penalty?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of penalties.
We've seen a worse one in the Fabregas.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
Some really bad penalties, and I mean, it worked out in the end. It worked out in the end, and Hamburg now with big chances to stay up.
And if Hamburg has a good chance to stay up, it's because they changed the manager for the third time. Maybe Wolfsburg should do the same, because they changed the manager with Labbadia, but Labbadia has only won once against Freiburg. Not had that impact that was supposed to have.
That's an appointment that hasn't really worked out, has it, Labbadia? Just one win since he's joined.
Only two games left, but maybe something would change.
Feels like he's the only newly appointed manager with a bad... with bad gaming or bad results, because a lot of the switches for other teams have worked out, not for Cologne though, but a lot of other manager switches have worked out.
Yeah, they're currently in that playoff position. We'll see in the next couple of games if they stay there or if it can get even worse. Hamburg, I would say, it's a big win for them and only 2 points away, and who knows. For now we'll move on, but we will come back to Hamburg a little bit later as they are our main topic for this week. The next game is Freiburg 3, FC Cologne 2, and that is the first side of the season to be relegated. Cologne will be playing in the Zweite Bundesliga next season. It's been coming for weeks, hasn't it, guys?
Yeah, unfortunately they'll be down. Like, before the game the fans had a banner saying we are Cologne, we are the club, like kind of having a dig to the players. Even though some, like Timo Horn, has signed a new contract to stay this season. And Freiburg, this was the game they had to win.
Not only Horn.
Yeah, although Hector Jonas, and now they have Marcus Anfang. I was reading they're trying to get Bittencourt, but I don't think they might. He's getting good offers from Tottenham even. But that would be good money.
It would be good money
for Cologne.
Yeah, certainly. I think in all fairness.
If he has a contract, that's the thing. You don't know. Maybe he doesn't even have a contract, and so Tottenham can get him for free or something.
Is it not? Do we know if it's pronounced?
I'm not sure.
I think he doesn't, but
I'd be surprised they'd let him. Well, we've seen Schalke do it with the arguably better players this season. whether they want to sign contracts, isn't it, at the end? But for Freiburg, it was a big victory, actually.
15 goals, Peterson, second most in the league. And again, amazing goal. The second one is a chip over the keeper. He did that against Dortmund. If that had happened with Ronaldo, Messi, it would be everywhere. But because it's Nils Petersen, who's done it also more than once, nobody talks about, which I think it's unfair. But
yeah,
again, always with Hamburg football happens that
Nils Petersen is the club. He's been saving Freiburg, or he's been scoring all the vital goals. And
Freiburg scored 34 goals. 15 have been Petersen.
Yeah,
and 29. That must be in all competitions. 29.
True, that's a two.
29 goals in the league, and he has scored 15 of those league goals. I mean, I don't know how it's even more in all competitions.
That's amazing, 15 goals.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's astonishing. Really.
Yeah, other players aren't that great in front of the goal.
Mm.
The penalty, horrible penalty.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Really sadly taken.
And then Bittencourt scores, and Cologne is back in the game.
Yeah.
So I think that the game showed exactly why both of those teams have been struggling so long, and now Köln is even going down. It shows they can play football, but not for 90 minutes. They always have phases where they concede goals from out of nowhere and where they're not concentrated, and this has been going on through the whole season. And the 3-2 in the last minute, it's a kind of replica of the game in the first half, where Freiburg was even down 3-0 and they turned it around and they scored in the last minute against Cologne and won 4-3. So those two fixtures have been crazy, and it shows exactly why those teams are down there in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I mean, so we do say goodbye to Cologne.
They will probably have good chances of coming there.
But it's been the black Saturday for them, because in the same day they went down, their maximum rivals Fortuna Düsseldorf were coming up.
Yeah. So we won't have that game to look forward to, unfortunately, next season, Cologne Düsseldorf. But yeah, like I say, Mirko, I agree. I think Cologne should be back straight in.
If you see Zweite Bundesliga at the moment, I mean, it's so close. Half of the league can still go down in third division, and everyone can beat everyone.
I mean, but also Cologne, I think, personally, are doing things correctly already. Like, they've known for a while that they were going down, so they already have a manager who has experience in the league. The best players are staying, going to build up, I assume, with young players also, and have one of the best fan bases in the whole Germany, I would say.
And that was super interesting. After the game, the fans were singing with the team, and they are still proud that the team made Europa League the year before, and so yeah, they're not that sad or not that angry about the team. When they got relegated in 2012, there was like, I mean, they were setting up a lot of pyrotechnics in the stadium, and I think some people were even jumping on the pitch, and yeah, it was just the whole fan base was really pissed at the team. But now I think they've also known it for longer that they will probably go down, and now they can accept it. And
is the sixth relegation though for Cologne such an historic team with a really, really extended history in the Bundesliga? And since the 80s, six times they go down. The only ones in the history have been in the last years. So it means that they need a long term project to stabilize, to stop being a lift club.
Yeah.
Because lately I've read some football fans saying, "Oh, Cologne is a lift club," when it's not actually. History doesn't prove it. But lately, it's gone down so many times that some people have this perception, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a great job with Schmadtke as the sports director, and with Stöger as the manager. They've done a great job for the last 4 years, but this season's just been awful. And yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, one last bit of news from that game is Peterson went off injured in that one. So, I mean, that's another, could we say, outsider for the World Cup who's had a bad week with an injury, you know, as we talk about Gnabry, and if you want to really look for Gregorich as well. But, not the best for good Demirbe as well, you know, I mean, outsiders, not a good week for them.
Freiburg's fans also took a piss at DFL. They had a banner saying, "Please remain seated at halftime. You might miss a goal," for the penalty Mainz had in like minute 50 when they were in the changing room already, and they had to come back out on the pitch.
Well, VAR, they talked about last week, has been received mixed at least by the fans. But yeah, good win for Freiburg and Cologne. Well, hopefully we'll see you again in a couple of seasons. Next up, my Leverkusen, 0 at home to Stuttgart. Lost 1-0 at home to Stuttgart. To be honest, somehow, I don't know. I'm not quite sure how they lost this game.
They played so well. Ilario back, missed the penalty, played really well. And the first shot they had, they kind of scored. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that when everything goes wrong, it just doesn't happen. And Stuttgart on the other way around, everything is going well, and a team that was fighting for relegation got Korkut Typhoon as manager, and now they're 1 point away from Europe.
Yeah, it seems like Korkut can't lose. I mean, even though Leverkusen was the better team, they just somehow won. Gentner with a second goal in a row. I think he was also wearing a mask. Broken nose or something.
Emphatic header.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen Gentner wear a mask in probably 50% of his games. I mean, he's wearing a mask every other week, and somehow he still manages to score. Maybe there's statistics, he's better with a mask. I don't know.
Who knows?
They still got chances now for Europa League, definitely.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's one of the stories of the season, you could say. Stuttgart's revival. Almost back from the dead at one point, you know. And that's why, you know, Typhoon was brought in, and he's done a wonderful job. Right now, they're just 1 point behind Frankfurt Mirko. You know, it's on form. You know, there's nothing you can say. They really come back into it, and they have put themselves in a great position.
And even though Bayer look like they're going maybe not get Champions League in the end, I think this can't say anything negative about the season. Last season they weren't in Europe, I think. They played a really, really consistent season. They've been fighting for Champions League until the end. And even if they don't make it, I think the defeat in the cup has helped to lose morale by the players. I think Bayer Leverkusen and Heidrich have done a really good season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they're just a shame they've fallen down at the last hurdle, really. The last bit of the season with the form, when it really comes to crunch, they've just fallen away a bit. I mean, they had those two games, those back-to-back 4-1 victories where you thought they were coming back into it. They hadn't been brilliant before that. Struggled for a few weeks. Yeah, so it's just a shame that...
But it's been positive overall, bringing on youngsters like Bailey, like Alario, somebody like... They've done really well, might stay next season, you can grow on that for the future, so...
Yeah, certainly, I agree, it's not been a bad season, but there'll be a little bit of sense of regret, I feel, from Leverkusen, and just the way they've going to end the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true, but still only 1 point away, can still do it, it's just Hoffenheim are looking so strong at the moment, I would not put my money on Bayer.
Yeah, absolutely. Then next up on Sunday, we had Mainz against Leipzig, 3-0 to the home side. Leipzig's horrific form of recent weeks has just continued there. A very disappointing team for Hasenhüttl and his players.
Yes and no. I mean, Mainz deserved to win the game. They won 3-0 and they deserved their victory. But the first two chances were clear cut chances, nearly without a goalkeeper, that if for Leipzig the death court been between the 15 first minutes, everything would have changed. Really, the first one was Poulsen just missing it wide when the goalkeeper was sold. Second one, actually,
I don't know, I've seen that season that scene, and what is Nigel de Jong doing there?
Exactly,
there's a pass back and he's just standing there, he's not reacting at all, and Poulsen can just take the ball, go and have the chance. It's just he was paralyzed or something.
And then, of course, the story of the season, of the weekend, sorry, for Mainz, is about Baku, the guy who was in the youth team going to Freiburg to play against the Freiburg reserve team, got a call saying, hey, you have to play for the first team, go out, a car from the club will get you, and come to the game.
Was it the same driver that was driving Kovac to his family?
maybe dropped him in the way there, and then he was man of the match, scored the last goal. The player that ran the most, 11 kilometers, and actually made a difference. Mainz are looking well, like the last games, and I thought personally that they were going to be the team in the playoff of relegation, but at the moment they don't. They look like quite solid.
Yeah,
even more than Freiburg, I would say.
Certainly, important victory for them. As we talked about with Leipzig, I mean, what's going on? What's going on? What's happened? What's happened at the Red Bull Club?
Yeah, lost 3 out of 4 matches.
Yeah, and
also
heavily
kicked out of the Europa League. I think there's also some rumors or some problems with the trainer Hasenhüttl. He hasn't extended the contract.
There were rumors with him to Bayern, and he never denied them.
Yeah, maybe that's also something that's having a negative effect on the players.
Certainly doesn't help when you have players doing what Kaiser did to get himself sent off again for the fourth time this season. That's four red cards he's received this season. Obviously he's off to Liverpool in the summer.
He's getting ready for like English football.
That is the last game for Keita, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, what a way to end. What an unfortunate way to end his career at Leipzig. I mean, he's been one of the stars of their rise.
He's a club legend.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
Club legend.
I know.
You've thrown away the word legend pretty fast. So
for Leipzig, they don't have that big history. So
legend may be a big word, but at least certainly in terms of the importance.
I mean, he was then the team that promoted to the Bundesliga, got second, so definitely. And I think he was the best player they had. History might remember Timo Werner more, but because of the goals. But I think the way they play and everything, he's like the pillar.
His importance, the importance he has had on this side has been well, at the forefront of why, you know, they did get to the Champions League last year and why they're still, I mean, they're still there and thereabouts, at least for Europe this year. And he has played well this season, really. It's just lets himself down with silly decisions and silly moments. I don't think that'd be very interesting to see at Liverpool with the way that Jurgen Klopp plays and sets up his football. So fast and counter-attacking, which means they'll be hit on the counter and he'll be the one man on his own to stop them. That could be interesting. We might see a few more red cards for Naby Keita next season in the Premier League. And the last game of the weekend was Bremen against Dortmund, 1-1 in this one. Yeah, Dortmund as well have put themselves in a very strong position, thanks to the results as well. But yeah, they're now 4 points ahead of that fifth position, Leverkusen, pretty much again consolidated their Champions League place. Guys, what do we think?
I think it's one of the best games I've seen Dortmund play for a long time. They played really, really well, hit the post 3 times. Made Pavlen come out of the match, actually. Jadon Sancho, again, playing really well. Like how he went into the middle of the times, having a really good connection with Reus, who, despite not having his best season, he's in 6 goals, which is not that bad. And it's just a pity they drew, because I think they were much better than Werder Bremen.
Yeah, also, I like the pass from Götze to Reus before the 1-0. Really great pass from Götze. And I think maybe some Dortmund players want to put themselves in the spotlight for the World Cup. They're heating up again. Second good performance in a row.
Yeah, I mean, Royce, especially, I mean, he'll be going, of course, but you would expect, at least.
If he doesn't get injured again. I mean, yeah. He's been injured before every big tournament. And he's, I think, last season, the DFB Pokal was his first title. Apart from any individual titles, but I think he's
unfortunate for such a player with that quality.
Yeah, definitely. And I really do hope he does go to the World Cup. It'd be great to see him, a World Cup quality player. And yeah, definitely deserves a chance to, you know, play on the biggest stage. On the grand scheme of things, for Dortmund, the least, I mean, is their away form that's let them down recently? In the last four, they've lost two. Last 3 away games, sorry. They've lost two, drawn one, scored one goal. Those other two losses were against Bayern 6-0 and Schalke 2-0. So they're away from. I mean, the big sides, I know, yeah. But to lose 6-0, to be Borussia Dortmund, to lose 6-0 to Bayern and to lose so seemingly comprehensively against Schalke as well, poor results, and it shows the inconsistency they've had this season. It's why they're not closer to Bayern and why they're not ahead of Schalke.
Yeah, that's true.
So that brings us to the end of our reviews of the 32nd match day in the Bundesliga, and now we'll move on to our main topic of the week, and that is HSV, or better known as Hamburg. This season they have been struggling for most of it. They found themselves in the relegation places for most of the season. A good win at the weekend, as we talked about earlier, against Wolfsburg, gives them a chance, but you know, they are in this position and it's a surprise, you know, and Mirko's going to tell us why.
Yeah, I mean, Hamburg is one of the so-called traditional clubs, one of the bigger clubs in Germany, big stadium, lots of fans all over Germany, which is, of course, due to success. They have had successful times, you wouldn't believe today. But so the club was founded in 1919, with a merger from three smaller Hamburg clubs, SC Germania, HFC and FC Falke 06. So those three clubs merged and founded the Hamburg SV. And they were pretty successful after the merger. They won basically every year. They won the Northern German Championship and actually won the whole German Championship a couple of times in the 20s and 30s. They've been a founding member of the Bundesliga, and this is what they are still very proud of. They have never been relegated from the Bundesliga.
They're the only club, right?
They're the only club. Werder Bremen is second with they've only been down one season, and they are probably looking for Hamburg to go down. So, but Hamburg, that's their their unique feature of never being relegated, and they're kind of selling that as a marketing thing. They have a clock in the stadium which counts the seasons they've been up in the Bundesliga, and the clock was originally for the World Cup 06. It was a countdown, and they had it in a couple of stadiums. Cologne, for example, had 1-2, and then in Hamburg they came up with the idea, let's just count the seasons we've been playing Bundesliga. And yeah, it's becoming a running gag in the last years that others say now it's finally over. The clock will stop. Hasn't stopped yet. And yeah, they have had some very successful times in the 70s as well. Won the German Championship 3 times. Won the Pokal. Won some international cups also. The Cup Winners' Cup in 77. The European Cup in 83. And then in the 2000s or in the late 2000s, they started to struggle. And this is what's been going on in the last years. Like, always having some problems with a lot of managers. And yeah, well, I think we'll talk about it a little more in detail now.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Mirko's just given us an insight into, you know, Hamburg's tradition in the Bundesliga, but he's also mentioned, of course, that they have struggled recently, certainly since this turn of the new decade. You mentioned coaches there. They've had 15 coaches in the time. They have...
In which time?
Since the start of the decade, 2010. 15 coaches they've had. They have been in 2 playoff positions already, playoff games against the third place team in the Zweite Bundesliga, and they've been very close both times to losing. They won on away goals against Greuther Fürth. Well, yeah, that's probably the closest they've come. But in the other game, it escaped me who they played, sorry, but they did win only in extra time again in that one after 2 legs.
Karlsruhe SC, it was with Diaz scoring the free kick and yeah, in extra time.
Yeah, so
they managed to pull it off.
Yeah, so, you know, they've already come close a couple of times to actually finishing and going into the Zweite Bundesliga. They finished 15th and 14th in that time as well. They've had many problems, and poor financial management is up there with one of the main reasons why they find themselves in this predicament. Since 2014, since Dietmar Beiersdorf returned to the club as director, they spent €121 million, which, whilst not compared to the, you know, hundreds of millions spent on Neymar and Dembele over that course of that time, it's quite a substantial amount, certainly in Bundesliga football, where the transfer fees are lower. And there's a lot of money, and, you know, it hasn't got them anywhere. There's been no actual real improvements. There has been a huge income, and a lot of players have come in and a lot of players have left. There's been a massive turnaround. There's not much stability, not only as we've seen at therefore the manager's level, but also at the players' level, on the playing staff's level. Too many players, there's no consistency there.
Yeah, and this is especially interesting because Hamburg was the first city with a World Cup stadium. They even started building the stadium before it was clear that we will get the World Cup, but they built the arena anyways. And so it's one of the biggest German stadiums. They have an attendance of 54,000 every year. So it's a big club, and you would think this stadium brings like financial stability. And they also had, like, in the early 2000s, they had a lot of great players. They had Van Buyten, they had Boularus, they had Boateng, which is now playing for Bayern Munich, and they were pretty successful also.
Company as well.
Company. They were
successful. As you're saying, like, they were successful in 2010. They played the semi-finals of the Europa League, only losing against Fulham, who would make the final, playing really, really well. And Hamburg, as you say, is the 6th biggest club in the Bundesliga with more than 70,000 members. And according to Forbes, is one of the top 20 biggest clubs in the world, which shows the magnitude of this club. But even though everything looks bad, I think there's signs of positiveness. 7 games till the end of the season, they were bottom. It was looking everything really bad. They had the third manager coming in, Christian Titz. Not many fans had faith on them. But now, it seems like they're coming back. They had only won two games from late August until early April. Now they've won three of the last four. He's started by giving chances to a lot of young players like Pole Bach, Tatsuya Ito, who's been the most impressive, Barkley Hata or Waldschmidt. They're playing, like, some of the big of the senior players have been dropped down to the point that even Papadopoulos was complaining, even though he's one of the ones that's playing lately, saying that the experienced players can give more results to the club. But the youngs are playing really well. You can see maybe it's because of the age and not having that pressure. Tits was the youth team manager, so he knows the players, he knows what to ask for them, he knows how to play. And the average of the team now is 21.7 years, which shows how young it is. So even if they go down, which at the moment is a question mark because they might stay up, it shows that they have a bright future to come, because a lot of these players will probably stay at the club because they have the money to keep them. They can offer them a future project, like saying them, okay, we have faith on you, you can stay in the club for long, we'll build the squad around you. So the Hamburg fans can be positive. Even if they go down, they can be positive.
Yeah, I'd say the German football fans, they have a pretty different image. I mean, they probably don't see it as positive as you painted this picture right now. Because Hamburg was struggling the last years and they somehow managed to pull it off. But then in the next season, it was the same problems started again. They were changing the manager again. And I think even if they managed to pull it off this season, which is still to debate about, I think they will have problems anyway. I mean, if they go down, they will have problems. If they stay up, they will have problems.
I mean,
the club is just made for problems.
I mean, I agree with you. Yes. Sometimes you need to give a step back to give two forward, and sometimes to have a relegation.
That's money in the jar.
And sometimes a relegation can be really positive because it might mean that finally they realize that the club needs a restructuration, need some players to leave. So some people from the organigram of the club have to leave, new ideas have to come in, new focuses, new points of view. But it's always easier to change if you stay up.
Yeah.
And after being so close this season, because even though they've escaped in the playoffs really, really close, this would be the season that they've been the closest by a big mile. So if they escape in the style that they're doing, giving chances to youth team players, to young players, they've had faith, they've invested on them, maybe they change and they start actually having a new philosophy.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, and of course, you know, they don't want to go down. We know they want to stay in the Bundesliga at the end of the day. That's where the money is, that's where the glamour is, you know, that's where the pinnacle is in German football. But I do believe that going down could be a blessing in disguise for them. I do think that being able to rebuild, I mean, this has been coming for so many years now. It's been coming for 10 years, close to 10 years now, them getting relegated. And I know they have this thing they want to hang on to with their only club in the Bundesliga to be relegated, and that's fair enough, but at the end of the day, that's going to become bigger than success. At the end of the day, Hamburg are better than being known for that. They won a European Cup. They've had some wonderful players play from down the years. Remember the years of Kevin Keegan when he won European Player of the Year there. Uwe Seeler, of course, was there. And, you know, probably the greatest player in the club's history.
Beckenbauer, Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Beckenbauer was in his late stage of his career. He's known for his times at
FC Bayern. For me, Thomas Gravesen.
Of course, Thomas Gravesen.
What a beast he was.
You know, we're talking about players that have marked the game of football here, and so have they. But you know, I mean, I do think this will give them an opportunity to forget that to an extent, throw that away, put that down, and try and get back to where they should be. They should be higher. They're a bigger club. They play in a huge stadium, 57,000 people seat a stadium. They've got the history. They've got the success. They've got the fan base. I mean, this is a club. It's like, it's almost comparative to an extent to even more so. They're a bigger club than Newcastle in the United Kingdom and in the Premier League. And we always talk about them, but how they're a dormant big club. And Hamburg are bigger than Newcastle, far bigger. You know, they should be doing far better. You know, and really, I think going down, they will, with the money they do have, the backing they have, they will storm the Bundesliga, to add to the Bundesliga. I really do believe that. With the young players, they'll keep most of them, you would expect, because they're young players. They've not done that much. They've just played a few games. I can see Jorge gesticulating to be here to cut in, so I will go to him in a second. But yeah, you know, I do believe that it could be a blessing in disguise for them. Jorge, over to you.
Okay, thank you. I mean, even though I kind of agree, I also think it's a big risk coming. I mean, being a fan from a club, Real Mallorca, itself, exactly the same. Not exactly the same because they're not as big. But when they went down, all positive mind, we can go up if we restructure everything and we start from zero. But when you have this pressure to go back straight, because Hamburg will have a massive pressure. I mean, they will not only be asked by the fans and by the Bundesliga world to go up, but to be champions, and if possible, by winter. And we all know that's going to happen. If they're not, if they start struggling a little bit, because Bundesliga is not easy at all. As Mirko said before, it's so, so compact. All any team can win. It's so... But it's so competitive, it's so difficult. And next season we have big teams like Magdeburg going to be there, Cologne going to be there, Dynamo Dresden, still a big club. I mean, I think it's going to be really difficult. I think in terms of, it's not, as you say, they have the money, which doesn't guarantee success to start with. And the second, it gives you the possibility of spending money in a crazy way, which was, is what Hamburg have been doing lately, being really inefficient. I think if you go down, they will more inclined to do that than to give chances to young players as if they stay in the Bundesliga. So I don't think, even though I kind of agree, it's a normally good chance for clubs to go down, restructure everything and rethink the ideas. I think in this particular case, it would be much better for the club and they can do exactly the same process if they stay in the Bundesliga. They you're going to answer to me, oh, but they haven't in the last years, which is true, but this season it's been so close and I've seen that a new policy is possible to be successful that I think they can still do the same process by staying up.
I understand where you're coming from. I do understand the point you're making, but like I said, it has been coming for years. And if they make it again this season, it will just be the same again next year. It's not going to change.
Yeah, that's
true. They'll see the system. They'll see, oh, well, it's worked again. You know what we're going to change now? They'll throw more money at it. Yeah, they'll throw more money at it. They'll try to get the fans back on side by signing some, you know, maybe not world class players, but solid Bundesliga players. And the thing will happen again because it's paper over cracks. It'll paper over the cracks if they stay up this season. Now they put themselves in a good position, and the fans will not want to get relegated, and they'll all be happy that they stay in the Bundesliga again.
But this time the fans would demand much more.
They will not
be happy if they keep on just with this policy of signing reputation players of the Bundesliga, which have taken them nowhere.
I think the problem is that they may be very happy with that. I think that's the point where it's got to, because now they are so far behind all these other clubs like Dortmund and especially, of course, Bayern Munich. They're so far behind, and in the past they haven't been that far behind. We look back at the 80s, and I know it's a long time ago now, but this is a traditional. This is a European Cup winning side, and they've had this history. They do have this history. In a good way, that they've never been relegated. They've always been in the Bundesliga. They're one of the constants. They have a huge fan base. They have a brilliant stadium. You know, they have this tradition. They have all these things. They have all these things that should be the basis of a really solid and really successful to moderately successful Bundesliga club. But they're nowhere near. They're miles behind. It's not good enough. And I think the only way they're going to get out of this rut, this cycle of where they are, is if they get relegated and they have to rebuild and change things. They need some stability. At the moment, apart from the fact they're in the Bundesliga, and that is stable in that sense that they've been there since the start, nothing else about the club is stable. There's no stability about anything at all.
That's definitely true. I mean, we have to talk about also like the club behind the team, or the structure behind the team. I mean, they have the largest board of supervisors in Hamburg. They have Klaus-Michael Kühne, an investor who has been investing millions into Hamburger SV over the last decades. I mean, just the last 5 years, or even shorter. In 2014, he invested 17 million into Hamburg SV. Then in 2015, he bought the naming rights for the stadium for 4 million annually. In 2016, another 38 million investment, and he only has to pay back if Hamburg makes Europa three times out of the next six seasons. So that money is basically gone. And then in 2017, another 15 million, where he bought another 300,000 shares, and now his stake is gone up from 11% to 17%. And all those investments, they were always like, the idea was, I'm lending this money to Hamburg and they will pay back, but they have never paid back, and they will never pay back, and they will probably in the future invest another time and then increase his stake again until he has 49% in maybe 20 years or something. So the money is just spent on we could call it maybe stupid stuff. Also, the players are getting contracts where Lazoga is earning like 3 million a year, and they're now happy that he's actually in Leeds, and they don't have to pay him because he's super expensive. And all those players have not been working out.
I mean, I agree 100% with you that they need stability. That, for example, doesn't help. What you said, 17 coaches in the last 10 years, that's not a stable project. This season, 3 every time getting players that will leave after a season, like, they don't sign any more players like Van der Vaart that stay for a long time, become captains. That doesn't happen anymore, unfortunately. But I think that will happen even less in the Bundesliga 2, because the pressure will be so big to go up that they'll just look for immediate success. Whereas if they stay in the Bundesliga, they might just say, because you were saying before of battling with Dortmund or Bayern, they can't even think about it for at least 3-4 years. They have to think now to make a stable project of just fighting to be top 10 of the Bundesliga, I would say. Be top 10 of the Bundesliga for 2, 3, 4 seasons in a row, maybe fighting for the Pokal, and then when it comes a time when you're already a stable club that is not fighting every season for relegation, that you have grown up your players, then yes.
But there has been the plan for 10 years, and they failed every year.
And the thing is, I'm not saying they should be. They are going
I know what you're saying.
They're not. They're not going to be rivaling Dortmund or Munich anytime soon. It's not going to happen. The point was they should be. This is a club that behind those two clubs, is the biggest club historically, in my opinion. Having watched Bundesliga football from afar for many years, Hamburg is traditionally known as the third biggest club.
Only through the Champions League.
Only through the Champions League, especially with Kevin Keegan, of course, back in England, who was a massive player. There was an interest in Hamburg, of course. I understand that. But this is a club that has all those ingredients to be challenging, and at least for the Champions League places, at the very least. But the thing is, one of the most important points I want to make here is what will happen. There's a losing mentality. At Hamburg, there's a losing mentality. If they stay up, they'll lose most of their games next season, and they'll be in the same position, and it'll happen again. They'll lose. They'll lose most of their games, and they'll finish 14th, 15th, 16th. If they're happy to have the only thing as being in the Bundesliga for all these years, then that's where they'll stay. They'll stay 13th to 18th every single year. If they go down and they win the league, which I am confident enough to say they will win that league, or at the very least they'll get promoted, there is going to be a winning mentality back at the club. And I know it's only the second Bundesliga, but it's they're winning games. They come back into the Bundesliga, they have everything else set up, they have these young players that in another year, in having played regular football, which they most probably will do at the Bundesliga, they will play regular football in the second Bundesliga. They'll have that winning mentality. They are the future of the club. They come back up and they're able to move forward and get to where they should be. If they've got, otherwise they're just gonna, they already have been drowned by this. We have to stay in the Bundesliga to keep the record, and drowning in it, you know, it's pathetic almost. It's almost pathetic that this is so important to the club, rather than moving forward and trying to put themselves in the best possible position.
they have to restructure the whole club. They have to cut costs and they have to get rid of some players, some managers. And that's just the best chance of, if you're going down, you can do that. And you can still win the second Bundesliga.
I mean, I think the three of us agree in the fact that Hamburg have to restructure the club, has to rethink where it's going and everything. But you say that next year they're going to be promoted immediately. That doesn't happen all the time. It's such a competitive league. What you're talking about, a winning mentality. What if they go down and they don't come up immediately after? Do you think players like Ito, who have been such an exposure now, will say at Hamburg if they go down? And I mean, I relate this to, for example, I would say Hamburg are kind of a, maybe smaller, but kind of Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid were in a similar situation, always having big players or buying big names, having big projects, and having a losing mentality. They were called El Pupas. Still have the name of El Pupas, which means like hurting. A team that loses all the time, had a losing mentality. What happened when they were actually in relegation position? They signed a guy called Cholo Simeone and everything changed. Because starting from him, they restructured the club, staying in La Liga. And during that period of this losing mentality, they were down already. Two seasons in the Spanish second division and nothing changed. And Hamburg can restructure the club, as it's been proved with Simeone, by being the Bundesliga. And still going down, I think it's too risky, way too risky. I know you're saying you don't want Hamburg to go down, but you're kind of saying that that's the solution for Hamburg. I don't think it is.
I'm not saying it's necessarily the absolute perfect solution for Hamburg. Of course it's not. You know, the perfect solution for Hamburg is that they stay up this season and then they magically turn it all around and they end up in the Europa League places next season. That's, you know, that's the best thing for Hamburg, really. But I don't see that happening, in my opinion. I kind of understand the point you're trying to make in terms of using a club that didn't go down. I find it very difficult to believe that Hamburg can find a manager who is anywhere near as good as Diego Simeone.
Christian Pitts, you never know.
If they've done that with Christian Pitts, then it is the change of the century, the managerial change of the century, if they have found Christian Pitts in that, and I don't believe that's true. I believe that they're their best possible chance of being... It depends what they want. It all depends on what the fans want and what the club wants. Do they want to be a mediocre Bundesliga side? Or do they want to be a top third Bundesliga side?
And you think that will be achieved by going down?
Not immediately. I'm not saying it's going to be an immediate process. But I think that if they go down, they will achieve that by coming back up and going back towards their positions a lot quicker than they will do the way they're carrying on now. Because there's no structure, there's no stability at the club. It's not quite the same story, but and it's an extreme of the story, or the case, but Leicester City. Look at Leicester City. They went down to the Championship. They came back up. They stayed up that one year out of nowhere. But they're still carrying on that winning mentality from the season before where they stayed up. You know, staying up in your first season in the top league in any country is the aim, really, for any club. And they did it out of nowhere. And they just carried on that winning mentality and they achieved something that was almost impossible. Now, I'm not saying that that's the goal for Hamburg. Of course I'm not. That is a once in a blue moon experience for a club. I mean, it's incomparable. But it's helped Leicester. It helped Leicester in that case to achieve something amazing. And Leicester is nowhere near historically as strong as Hamburg is.
But I also think, yeah, you can't really compare Leicester and Hamburg. Hamburg is like one of the biggest cities in Germany, the second biggest after Berlin, and it's also a really wealthy city. I mean, they have been the port city, and they have been trading since centuries. And yet, so the city always had money. And I think this is just this mentality of knowing we have the money, let's then spend it too easy. And that's the whole thing, that the club has a complete different structure than Leicester, a working-class city that's never been coming out of signing superstars or anything like that. And Hamburg has always been like the glamorous club. I mean, there's St. Pauli, which is kind of the working club in Hamburg. And I don't really think you can compare Hamburg to Leicester. And also the success of Leicester, it wasn't really planned. And even for them, it was just they were on a run, once in a lifetime run, and there's nothing you can plan on. And yeah, Hamburg maybe needs a run like that to just get out of the bottom of the league. I mean, they're gonna have the same problems next season probably if they're staying up, and they're gonna it will happen. If it doesn't happen this season, it will happen next season maybe, or in 3 years, or in 5 years. If the club doesn't change its complete structure, then they will always have those problems.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't comparing it like Leicester to Hamburg and saying it's the same kind of thing, but it was just an example of that a club going down can make them come back stronger. In some cases, I'm kind of to back up my point. In that case, of course, I could see Jorge wants to say something again, which is all perfectly fine. Of course, I'll pass it over to him in a minute. But yeah, I mean, that's the point I was just trying to make there. That it could be wrong, you know. And at the end of the day, who knows? We don't know. But I think, for me, in my opinion, it's something that should certainly help the club. At the very least, they may avoid another hammering at the Allianz Arena for a year, which they may enjoy.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about which league you play at. It's about restructuring the club and changing everything, all the mentality. But sadly, as Mirko pointed out, they're a rich city, a rich team. And if they already invest all this money in the Bundesliga, I just think they're going to invest even double or in a more impulsive way in the Bundesliga to buy because of the pressure to go immediately after. Because they will... A restructuration of the club basically means that you need a few years to be able to see those restructuration fruits coming out, and if they go down, they will not take that slow. They will want to go up immediately. Whereas in the Bundesliga, if they start the season and they already are not being first, fighting for players or whatever, they already be critics. Already, they might go to winter transfer again, buy 3 players for big money. Maybe some players that are in the Bundesliga who can come down with the promise of going up. You know, I just think it's just much easier to restructure the club if they stay up than going down because of the club they are.
It's they can't put a magic spell out there and just wish we agreed. It's easier to stay up, and now they're gonna stay up. They still have to do the work to stay up, and yeah, it will be tough for them. But the thing is, also in Zweite Bundesliga, Hamburg is just so much bigger than all the sides in Zweite Bundesliga right now. So I think they will have great chances.
Well, guys, we've covered quite a lot there. Just got a couple of last questions for you on this topic before we move on to next week's games. Firstly, do you want Hamburg to stay in the league?
Yeah, from a fan perspective, I say... One, I want them in the league because it's a great away trip, great city. You can have a nice weekend in Hamburg. Been there, done that. Great song as well. Well, I always like to like that song, Hamburg, meine Perle. They're playing before kickoff. And it's also Hamburg makes the league interesting because, Hamburg has been struggling for so long and it's kind of like a big topic every other week. I mean, it was this Saturday, it was again. I was watching my Frankfurt game, but one eye was on the Hamburg game. And can they put it off again? Will they stay up? So it's kind of fun having Hamburg, and it's kind of, yeah, became a little running gag. I mean, there were guys tweeting last season, how can I predict next season when the transfer window hasn't even opened? Hamburg's going to get 16th, hasn't even opened yet. And so everyone is knowing that Hamburg will have big troubles and will struggle, and that makes the league interesting.
And Jorge, you?
Yeah, I want them to stay. Again, great fans. I even like the name of the stadium, Volksparkstadion, the stadium of the people. I mean, water there is really cool. And it's just one of those, like, being a Bundesliga lover, Bundesliga fan, it's just one of those teams that make Bundesliga the Bundesliga. It would just be weird to check the Bundesliga fixtures for next season and not see them. The only positive thing I would say, and that's the only positive thing fans can see if they go down, is the derby with St. Pauli. That's something that would make amazing to see again, but I prefer them to stay up, definitely.
And finally, quick one this, do you think they will stay up? Mirko?
Yeah, that's the question as always, and I have to talk about my club, of course, because we're playing them, and so this interferes with my personal interests here, and I kind of want us to beat them, but I also would like to see Hamburg in the league, and it's tough. It's.
And Jorge, finally, you, what's your thoughts?
I think they will slip. They will stay. I mean, the calendar is not the most difficult. On paper, they are difficult clubs like Eintracht and Gladbach, but they're both clubs that are not. Eintracht are on the downfall. Sorry, Mirko. And Gladbach, even though they're on form, next weekend, depending on the results, they might not be fighting for anything in the last game. And so that might benefit HSV. Also, the fight that the club they're fighting against for the promotion playoff is Wolfsburg, who are in the down, really bad form. I don't think they'll stay up immediately because the other two clubs, Mainz are on form and Freiburg are not on form, but they won last weekend. They have 33 points by 28 from HSV, so I don't think they'll be able to stay up directly, but this to make the playoff, and then when they're on the high, because making the playoff is already like a big victory for them, they would presumably play against Holstein Kiel, who don't have the experience, so I think they have a big advantage.
Let's just say the momentum is on Hamburg's side.
Certainly, it will be a very interesting 2 weeks, and that brings us nicely on to our last segment of this week's show, the preview of the 33rd match day in the Bundesliga. Of course, in the last 2 weekends, all the games will be played at the same time. All they're going to be on Saturday this time around, and we're going to go through those games now. First one, Dortmund against Mainz. Dortmund looking to confirm their place in next season's Champions League.
Yeah, if they manage to win, they're safe in the Champions League. So
even a draw may be enough for them.
And it's also a result that would be good for Mainz, because even a draw at Dortmund might put them safe, actually, if Wolfsburg lose.
Then you've got Leipzig against Wolfsburg.
I'm going to do on-the-field reporting again, because I'm going to be there, so get all the latest details for next week. But yeah, really difficult one to call, because they're both teams who are in a bad form, so I would say a draw.
Yeah, both are struggling. I just somehow see Leipzig win, because they have to win at one point of the season. They have to win one more. And Wolfsburg was just really performing horrible against HSV, so don't see them get any points.
Yeah, as I just said there, Mirko, Leipzig really could do a win to consolidate that Europa League place for next season. And also themselves will do a win, obviously, to get out of that playoff position they find themselves in. So it should be an interesting game. Next up, Cologne, the relegated side, up against Bayern Munich. The only two sides at this current point of the season who have absolutely nothing to play for. Their status is, but next season already been confirmed. You know, so it might be a boring game, that one. But then again, Bayern, you know, is there any boring games when Bayern play?
Yeah, but that's actually the fixture. Köln got relegated last time in 2012, and the fans were really pissed, as mentioned earlier. I think it will be completely different this time. I think they will go down in style. Fans will be motivated. There will be good atmosphere in the stadium. They enjoy a last fixture against Bayern. Great atmosphere. That's what I'm betting on.
Jorge, what do you think?
Yeah, so let's hope for Cologne that the Champions League has some impact on Bayern if they end up losing. And whatever happens, even if they lose or they win, they'll play probably with the B squad, because players might be tired or might save them for the Pokal final in 2 weeks. So, yeah, you never know. Would be the last game of at home in the Bundesliga with the in-style victory.
Would actually be a classic for this season if Cologne now wins this one.
Yeah, wouldn't it just... Then we've got Werder Bremen at home to Leverkusen. Leverkusen really could do with a victory after a couple of poor results. Werder safe now. They'll be in the Bundesliga next season. Probably a bigger one for Leverkusen.
Yeah, more pressure on Leverkusen, definitely. Bremen actually with the second home game in a row where they've actually been secured before the Dortmund fixture, so two games to enjoy, two great matches, but no pressure at all for them.
Yeah, last game at home, and actually Werder Bremen announced lately that club legend Thomas Schaaf is coming back to the club as the technical director. So maybe he's in the stands, the fans will obviously go crazy for him, so might have good scenes.
Maybe not in the stands, maybe in the box, but he's definitely had some really successful times in Bremen. And
could be argued he's the best manager they've ever had.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Mönchengladbach against Freiburg. Jorge?
Freiburg have to win. At least for a draw. A draw keeps them safe. Because I can't see Wolfsburg winning at Leipzig this weekend. Getting a draw, yes, but not winning. So maybe a draw is enough.
Yeah, that would also be interesting for Frankfurt because they're fighting with Gladbach for the Europa League spots. And I'll definitely support Freiburg here in this case. And it's also Freiburg's been an interesting side. And they're interesting for the Bundesliga. And you want them to stay up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Pedersen does play for Freiburg after that injury that he picked up last week. Yeah.
At least he didn't get booked twice this time.
Yeah, maybe a more understandable way to miss the next game. Mönchengladbach, as you mentioned there, still in that fight for the Europa League place, that seventh place, which more likely will be this season.
Hopefully not for Frankfurt, because it would mean they lose the Pokal.
Yeah, certainly. Anyway, they're in the fight anyway, at least Mönchengladbach, at least only 3 points behind two. Leipzig, or at least behind Leipzig in the automatic spots, at least. Next up, we have, conveniently we do fall to Frankfurt against Hamburg, our main topic from this week. So, yeah, Mirko, what do you think? What do you think about that one?
I think most of German football fans are supporting Frankfurt. Because a lot of them want to see Hamburg go down. And obviously, especially the Bremen fans want to see Hamburg go down. And they will be really pissed at us if we lose this one. But I don't see us getting any points in this season. We're gonna lose.
I hope you lose. No, I'm joking. I hope Hamburg put it off, really. I think it would be an incredible comeback.
Yeah, it would be. It certainly would be out of nowhere. I mean, they've been dead for weeks if you read the media coverage of the Bundesliga. So it would be an interesting, quite a turnaround, you could say, for Hamburg if they do make it and stay in the Bundesliga, as we've just debated. Next up is Augsburg against Schalke. Augsburg off the back of that 2-2 draw against Hertha last weekend, and Schalke also off the back of a draw. Schalke are a draw will guarantee them Champions League football next season.
I think the fight is just Schalke is not really facing Augsburg. They're looking probably over to Dortmund, how they are playing against Mainz. If Dortmund is leading, then they will try to put on more pressure against Augsburg and win their game as well, because that's what they're both fighting for, I think, and that's why I think Schalke has to get some points, because Dortmund at home against Mainz will probably get at least 1 point or win.
I actually think Augsburg will pull this one off. They have no pressure, last game at home after a really good season for them, and Schalke have not been good on form away lately. Lost against Hamburg, drew against Cologne. They've not won a game in the league since winning the Riviera Derby against Dortmund. There's a lot of pressure on them, as you say, because Dortmund are only two points away. So I actually see Augsburg pulling this one off.
And then we have Hannover against Hertha. I think this is probably the least interesting game of the weekend, at least on paper.
Hertha has still chances for Europa, so
very true. Actually, we did talk about that, didn't we? We didn't say that Hertha was still in the fights. What do you think?
It can just be one of those typical games we have at the end of the season where it's just goals for fun. Last weekend happened the same, 2-2, where there's quite a good number of goals, and I think it could happen the same. Two teams that have nothing to fight for. Okay, Hertha could get into Europe, but it's difficult, but no pressure. They have good goal-scoring teams and they don't defend that well. So I think it could be a good spectacle to watch.
And then the last game of the weekend is Stuttgart at home to Hoffenheim. I think this is going to be a really interesting game. The two, apart from Bayern Munich, inside teams in the Bundesliga, both on really good run of form. Obviously, Stuttgart only have one loss since the new manager Typhoon has come in, and Hoffenheim are unbeaten in eight. Another strong victory at the weekend on Friday. So, yeah, and both sides in the fight for European football. This will decide if one, if not both, do make it.
Yeah, Hoffenheim is basically in one or the other competition, and Stuttgart just 1 or 2 points behind Frankfurt. If they win, they're big in the fight and have big chances. And also the game has some regional rivalries, Stuttgart-Hoffenheim, not that far. Hoffenheim, though, not that many travelling fans. We'll see how many will make the trip to Stuttgart.
So that brings an end to episode 3 of the Bundesliga Diaries podcast. As ever, I would like to thank Jorge Sartori and Mirko Lorenz for joining me.
We'll see you next week, John.
See you then.
We hope that you enjoyed the show. If you did, we'd love for you to share it and also to get the word out about what the Bundesliga Diaries podcast is and what it is that we're doing. You can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @bully_diaries. And you can also visit our website, which is bundesliga-diaries.com. So, yeah, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And tune in next week for more of the Bundesliga Diaries podcast.
It's the minus a dash.
Yes. Yeah.